Welcome to Sports on Tap Northwest, featuring
Matt Garl,
yours truly, Kyle Carter.
Welcome to the biggest waste of half an hour in your entire life.
You're never gonna get it back. Ever. Enjoy.
Word.
Welcome, everybody, to the next week's edition of Sports on Tap. How are y'all doing? Matthew, what is on tap for you today, sir?
First of all, can we talk about how
awesome
that
was?
Much of an upgrade our intro was?
I'm going to say, that was pretty
good. You know,
it was pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
On tap for me today is a very special treat. It's my favorite brew. It's from my favorite brewery in Oregon. It's Hopworks Urban Brewery, or Hub. They're my favorite beer. It's their famous organic IPA. However, it's in a can.
Ooh.
Pounder version.
Do your thing, buddy.
So, if you haven't had Hopworks Urban Brewery, strongly recommend it. Every brew that they make is really good, but their organic IPA is my favorite. It was one of the beers we had at my wedding.
Oh, that, yes.
It was that and Coors Light, I believe.
Yes, which I went with the Coors Light variety.
Right. I'm sure you went with.
Because, again, trying to watch my friend.
Yeah, I know. You want to spike V8 juice or whatever. Whatever it was. Anyways, highly recommend. I don't know how widespread this is outside of Oregon, but...
Well, you're going to spread it.
Yeah, well, I don't know how many listeners we have outside of Oregon.
Probably 12.
Outside of our family.
Oh, outside of Oregon?
Outside of our family tree is probably single digits.
That's a good call.
What is on tap for you?
All right, well, I'm actually going 2 weeks in a row with this one. Because it was just so tasty.
It's just so ridiculous.
I am. You know what? I am going against the grain, people. Shout out to Dan Patrick. Against the grain, where I don't do the beer variety. I will have beer every once in a while. But I'm more of a wine, champagne, mixed drink.
It's really anything but beer.
Well, I think. But I don't care. I do my thing.
I know.
And I enjoy it. And I'm having vodka and Diet Mountain Dew. That's right, Diet Mountain Dew.
I feel like I've tried to make this joke and allude to this each podcast.
Bring it, because it's not going to work.
It's ironic that you hate beer.
I don't hate beer. I drink beer, I'd rather drink something that tastes better to me.
Tastes better to you? Is that really Diet Mountain Dew?
Yep.
Are you sure it's not store brand Diet whatever?
Doesn't matter. It still tastes better than happy beer.
You would rather drink Diet Skipper or whatever it is than
Diet Skipper?
Whatever.
Whatever. Okay. Whatever. Well, guess what?
He's our hero.
He's our hero. Well, Neil. Okay. Yes, so that's what I'm drinking. Deal with it. Raise a glass to all those non-beer drinkers, those wine, champagne, mixed drink drinkers. I'll clink to you right now.
Yeah, all you women out there, all you single ladies out there.
I speak to the women. And now, that's obviously what we're drinking. That's what's on tap for our beverages. What's on tap for the show today?
Well, we have a menagerie of different topics.
Oh. Ooh, I love how you cut that off to not say anything deep.
Menagerie is a real word.
Okay.
Of course, we're going to talk about the NFL preseason because we're obsessed with NFL football.
Yes.
So we have to.
We'll cover the Broncos, the Chiefs.
Broncos and Chiefs because we're fanatics about those two.
Yes, and then we'll just cover just more other regular things within the preseason. Ooh, then I think we got a little fun topic here. Favorite sports announcers.
It's a good one.
So.
A really good one.
If you guys have your favorite sports announcers out there, please, again, the two of you that are listening, email, Facebook, tweet in your favorite sports announcers. Maybe we'll talk about it next week.
Lines are lighting up.
Whoa. We'll be talking about favorite sports announcers. This absolutely ridiculous referee strike in the NFL, which is beyond...
Dumb beyond dumb.
Dumb beyond dumb. Dumb and dumber-er. And then maybe we'll get into a little bit of the soft chick rock acoustic lover.
This is so what you're saying is guilty pleasure, basically. Like,
yes, I mean, we have the same affinity for this type of music, which is this chick
listen
rock acoustic. I mean, it started off with John Mayer, and then it sprouted out to
listen,
all of this.
Everybody
who wants to grab an acoustic guitar and sing in a coffee house type rock.
I know that we sound, and maybe you've Facebooked us or Googled us, and we look like we're rock hard on the exterior. And I know that we appear and sound like the epitome of a man, but really, we do love us some chicked out acoustic stuff.
We do. We really do. But you know what? You're going to love us for it. Because we're going to give you some good artists to download or look into, and you'll say thank you.
And you closet acoustic freaks love this episode.
And of course, we'll hit up the Man Crush of the Week segment, and then get into the ever gorgeous, ever eloquent voice of reason who will be giving her opinion at the end of the show after we cover all of our idiocy. It's week 3 of the preseason, sir.
I mean, how starved are we? We're just like,
I want the regular season so bad, but I can't be too upset because ultimately we got our football back.
I know.
And a lot of what I'll talk about here, we're going to get into a little bit later about these darn replacement refs, but so the game's a little off, if you will.
This next weekend is going to be so great because not only is it the third week of the preseason, which everyone knows is the most realistic look you're going to get.
At your team, yeah.
Your starter's going to stay in the longest.
At least a half, most likely 3/4.
Usually 3/4. And by the time we get around to making another podcast, we will have been able to watch our first college football game,
which will be fantastic. I believe a big game with
South Carolina and Vanderbilt, a little SEC action.
But hey.
As we talked about, who cares?
I'll take it. And I know there's a couple of Pac-10 people playing too, like Arizona State and Utah and UCLA. You know, but it's not conference games. But at least it's games that count.
The one that I'm TiVoing, if that's still a term.
Ooh, TiVoing? It's kind of like TiVoing, but with your
control. Remember TiVo?
I do.
It was like before DVR.
Before DVR, but it was TiVo.
It was like a thing
with a little Happy TV logo.
Buttloads of money for it. Northern Colorado and Utah is on that first Thursday, August 30th.
Yes.
Anyways, we're going to head of ourselves.
We are.
Anyways, the point is, football's back. This next weekend will be awesome.
And it's going to start counting, really. And hopefully our teams can stay healthy and ultimately, watching the Chiefs from week 1 to week 2 and heading into week 3, I'm a little worried.
They got pasted by the Rams.
Lamb-basted. Like,
scores don't matter.
Scores don't matter, but it was tough to watch.
What was
a lot
score?
Of turnovers.
What was the score at the end of the first quarter?
Like 14-0.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
But here's the thing is they came back and they were like 10-17 at half, and that's with starters. So I'm feeling good about it because we actually have a strong offense, but our defense looked bad. And did you hear about Taba Haley?
Yes.
Suspended for the first game. They still don't know what it is, but I'm guessing it's weed.
It's
substance abuse.
Substance abuse, yes.
Which no one likes. Just very frustrating, obviously. It's only Taba Haley Boumaye.
As I came, you say, Boumaye.
So, I mean, we'll see how they do, but I was actually pleasantly surprised with how the offense moved, besides the couple stupid turnovers that can be easily fixed. Offense looked great. The defense looked a little shaky, but I am happy that Dwayne Bowe finally got off the couch, signed his franchise tender, and is now back with the team. So he'll at least have a few weeks going into the season to be ready and to understand the playbook. I know it's late and it's horrible and it's frustrating, but you know what? At least it isn't 3 weeks into the season like Maurice Jones-Drew is probably going to have.
The whole franchise tender thing just gets me so furious because it's grown men bitching and moaning that they're not making X amount of millions on top of the X amount of millions that they're already making.
Completely agree with you.
It's just so infuriating.
It is.
If the Denver Broncos came to me right now, rang my doorbell and said, we'll pay you $1 million next year, I would be set for the next 10 years.
Right, but let's look at it this way. If I'm going to be devil's advocate here, let's say your company came to you and goes, listen, I'm going to give you six figures, low six figures, but for 1 year, not guaranteeing that you'll have a job with us after that, and you could very well get injured and not be able to do this job again. Would you do that, or would you want a longer-term five-figure, high five-figure deal? And you know what I'm saying? So this is how they think, because they came into the league with money and cash signs.
I mean, I get it. It's all about your worth. I get it.
Yeah.
But if my company came to me, since I'm a...
I get it.
I sit in front of a computer all day. What injury are we talking about here?
I get it.
It's like when carpal tunnel...
Carpal tunnel? Sure.
Which is what I meant?
Yes, yes, yes.
Do I have to pay for the surgery? No, I mean, I get it, but it's just like, at some point...
I know, it's greedy.
Like, Mauricio Jones, since you brought it up...
Is annoying.
He still has 2 years on his contract.
That he signed...
That he signed, what, 2 years ago?
2 or 3 years ago. Doesn't matter.
What?
He signed an extension because he wanted more money, and he got it.
Guess what? You led the NFL in, he led the NFL in rushing last year.
Because that's all they could do.
Exactly. The only reason is because Blaine Gabbert is your quarterback.
Sucked.
And can't do anything but hand the ball off to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
The whole thing is, there's millions and millions of people out there that are making not very much money and surviving. And these guys bitch and moan about millions and millions of on top of millions and millions of dollars. I get a little tired of hearing
about it. I agree with you. But, I mean, going back to it, ultimately, I'm very happy that Dwayne Bowe's back in. And hopefully can
take... Chief. Let's bring it back.
Yeah, let's bring it back. I hope that we can get a strong, you know, a strong showing against the Seahawks this week, which is going to be interesting because of the whole Russell Wilson starting at quarterback, but
we're going to segue
into a later segment, but it's going to be interesting. But how about your Broncos? How are you feeling about
that? I was saying segue because the Broncos played Russell Wilson in the Seahawks.
Oh, they did. You're right.
This last weekend. And first we'll start with the Broncos. Whole thing, everybody's in this hubbub because Peyton Manning has thrown 3 interceptions. 2 of them are tip balls. Okay, so in my mind, he's had 1 bad interception.
Tipped balls?
Yes.
Because I'm pretty sure you just said tit balls.
You hear what you want to hear, buddy.
You be the judge, listeners.
You hear Peyton Manning, it's like Pavlov's dog. You hear Peyton Manning, you think of his titties. Anyways...
If you've heard the show before, anytime you hear wheezing, take a drink of your special beverage.
Your diet skipper.
Okay.
But the offense looked actually pretty good. They moved the ball up and down the field, and they moved the ball pretty well. And maybe it's even not that good, but as a Bronco fan last year, if Tim Tebow could put a successful drive together... It was like, you know, unless it was a big play, we didn't really go anywhere. So I've seen a drive of like 9 plays where you're reading the defense, finding the open receiver. That's really exciting, actually, and thrilling.
Well, and in the first half.
Well, that's what I mean. At halftime, Denver led 10-9. Mm-hmm. And we had 3 turnovers.
Yikes.
So
yeah.
I feel pretty good about that.
Well, it comes with the territory, especially when he doesn't have I've noticed he doesn't have the velocity on the ball that he used to, but ultimately what you need at this point in time, is that accuracy, and he's always going to have that accuracy.
Would you rather have somebody that throws harder than can read a defense?
Like I just said, accuracy.
He can read a defense.
Yep.
He finds Brandon Stokley, who's open by 5 yards. You don't have to throw it very hard when you're open by...
And let me tell you this. Brandon Stokley would not have a job if it weren't for Peyton Manning. So
never.
The fact that he can make that guy look open, you know he's still special.
He's all right. He's going to be all right.
Exactly.
But actually, one of the biggest takeaways I took from that... Well, you know, we can get to that later, actually. I was going to talk about Russell Wilson.
But we'll get to that.
That's called illusion.
It is illusion. And kind of...
Foreshadowing.
Foreshadowing. Yes. But, you know, and we kind of are going to touch on Russell Wilson. You'll get onto him a little bit later. But a lot of the things that we've noticed in the preseason is some immaculate play from the rookie quarterbacks. What is happening? It's good stuff here.
Really good stuff.
Like, Russell Wilson, which we'll get into a little bit later, Andrew Luck is looking great. Even when he throws a pick, he comes back with an 80-yard touchdown drive right thereafter.
Really good.
Robert Griffin's going to be
RG3, give him to legit. Me right now. In fantasy football, give him to me right now.
Right. We got Jake Locker, who's, I know, not a rookie quarterback. He's a second-year guy, but ultimately a rookie starting quarterback.
And
he just got the rookie starting job.
There's Brandon Whedon, who it's tough to tell whether he looks good because he's good or because the Browns suck so bad.
Nobody.
And I've never, ever had a quarterback. Right. Sorry, Colt McCoy. Best of luck to you, but
yeah.
Not good.
And Tannehill just got the starting job in Miami
over Matt Moore,
our boy. God
bless him.
But you know what? He showed something. And if you're going to invest a top 10 pick in a guy, you have to give it to him.
Have you seen...
As much as I want Matt Moore to play, because he's a Beaver, OSU. All
go
back.
Beavers. Yes. Have you seen Hard Knocks this year?
You know what?
Miami Dolphins.
I wish I have, but we do not have the HBO package, which we are looking to be getting back here shortly.
No. Well, I only saw 10 minutes of it.
Yes.
It was hilarious because they were giving all the rookies haircuts.
Mm.
And one of the rookie linemen walks into a team meeting wearing a baseball cap.
Yes.
Coach makes him take it off. There's a huge phallic symbol on his head.
Really?
Yes.
Please explain what this phallic symbol is.
What? Let me explain what a phallic symbol is. Are you serious?
I just want to make it awkward for you.
God, this isn't a video podcast.
So did Tannehill have one of these crazy haircuts?
I don't know. I only saw 10 minutes of it. It was some dude walking into a meeting with
a crazy
penis
haircut
on his head.
Well, go check it out.
I didn't know what it was. Check it out, folks. I didn't know what it was at first. And then he turned around and on the back.
And there it was.
Yeah, the two boys.
Yep. Nice. The two boys. Well, you know, going back to rookie quarterbacks, I know there was one guy. Yeah. Horrible segue. Horrible segue from phallic
symbols. Let's talk about rookie quarterbacks.
Speaking of just awkward conversations, ultimately, I think that the awkward conversation that Mike Shanahan has to have with Robert Griffin III and his backup quarterback, also a rookie, Kirk Cousins, has to be a little bit weird because my boy Kirk Cousins
went crazy.
Did you see what he did this weekend? He brought back, they were down 27-10. They went up 31-30 in the fourth quarter.
Oh, the fourth quarter of a preseason game.
I get that, but guess what? Do you see that anywhere else? Do you see people coming back in the fourth quarter like that with three touchdown passes, 18 for 23?
Against a third-string defense.
Okay, and excuse my language. He's playing with he's making chicken salad out of chicken expletive.
Excuse your language. You're right.
Thank you.
Expletive.
Yes. He did what he was given. He did with what he was given.
And you're willing to say he's going to start over RG3?
No, I'm just saying that he's
that's the way you framed it, to be fair.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying that he's making himself look good. RG3 is just doing the bare minimum. I'm just saying they could probably call my Chiefs, in which I would gladly listen to, and say, you know what? They've drafted him, I believe, in the fourth round this year. Huh. Give me next year's second round pick. And I would gladly say yes.
You hate Matt Castle.
Of course I hate Matt Castle. But I'm just saying.
I could offer you a cheeseburger to be your quarterback.
And I would gladly take it.
You think about it.
I would not even think about it. I would take it and probably have the scraps as well.
Probably beat the Broncos.
Yes, because I just do not like Matt Castle. But, you know, Cousins, as a rookie quarterback, since we're on that topic, he's impressing me. That's all I'm saying. And he's impressing me. For what he's given and what he's playing with, he stepped up.
I agree. I don't think you can put much stock into killing a third-string defense. But you're talking about a rookie quarterback backing up a rookie quarterback.
But exactly, which means he's going to make fans talk. He's going to make fans talk, and he's playing with third stringers.
You're nuts.
You got to give that.
He's
playing with third stringers.
Yes.
He's making third stringers look like starters.
He's also playing against third stringers.
But do other people do this? Do you see this in other preseason games? No, you don't. You see a bunch of turnovers and people getting cut the next day.
So you're willing... The way you framed your argument was because of what he did in the third or the fourth quarter of a... Third and fourth quarter of the second preseason game, he should start over the Heisman Trophy winner, number two overall pick.
No! We're talking about impressive rookie quarterbacks. And I'm saying he's impressed me, and I wouldn't start him over RG3. However, he's impressed me enough to where I think that the Redskins can get some good, because they're not going to trade RG3, they can get good value back with sending him to another team that needs another quarterback.
Okay.
That's where I'm coming from.
You framed it as...
I apologize.
Talk about Mike Shanahan having this awkward conversation because Cousins is better than...
But you know what they have to do every week? They have to go into the quarterback room and review tape throughout the entire game. And it's, hey, Robert, you should have done this. Robert, you should have done that. And then it's, hey, Kirk, nice job. Oh, that's a great job, Kirk. Oh, wait, you're kicking ass, Kirk. You know what I mean?
And then somebody says against third string defense.
It doesn't matter.
Yes, because it does.
You're playing. Okay, you're playing. You're 50% players against 50% players. He's playing 100% versus 100%. You should be able to do the same thing, right?
I mean, I honestly think we're going to have to agree. I think your argument is ridiculous.
I think you're ridiculous.
Well, you also think I'm handsome, so.
Yes, I do. Trade Matt Castle for Kirk Cousins. Anyway, okay, next topic.
Point is, let's trade Matt Castle for a cheeseburger.
It's cheeseburger and Kirk Cousins, because I will take it in a second. Gosh.
God dang
well, on to our second segment, which I think is a very interesting topic, and I think people will like to hear what we have to say, but also we'd love to hear from you on Facebook or whatever about who your favorite sports announcers are, because it could go back to the 70s, 60s, all the way till now. And I have a few, but what are yours?
Well, it depends on what we're talking about. If we're talking about...
let's start with football, or just overall sports in general.
No, I mean, like, if we're talking about legacy, like, I think...
Al Michaels comes to mind.
Well, I think Al Michaels is the greatest announcer.
Ever.
You beat me to the punch. I think he's the greatest announcer of all time.
Of all time. Al Michaels.
But I'm like, thinking of the college football. Okay. Keith Jackson.
Yes.
That's who I'm talking about.
Fantastic.
One of the greatest announcers of all time. Classic. His legacy will always be there. When I hear his voice, when I hear him make a call, it takes me back to when I'm a kid watching the Rose Bowl.
I agree. He's a Washington State alum. Gotta love the guy.
Is he really?
He is a Washington State
alum. I did not know that.
Yes. You know, so he's a Pac-10, Pac-12 guy. And, gosh, he called all those big Rose Bowl games, all the major Pac-10 games over the years. So I gotta agree with you on that one.
Rumbling, bumbling, stumbling?
Rumbling, bumbling, stumbling. Yes.
I can't remember if that was him or bringing you to another great announcer who I love, Chris Berman.
You know,
a lot of people that, hold on, a lot of people
he's
think
he's an acquired taste, yes. Especially if you see his comb-over face on TV.
Yeah. He does have a face and body made for radio.
Yes. I gotta agree with you, though. I like Chris Berman, and especially when he starts talking like this, and all of a sudden starts talking like this. Because he runs out of drink, by the way.
The Raiders.
But Berman's great. Him and Tom Jackson have a great chemistry when it comes to...
Tom Jackson, former...
Tom Jackson, yes. Linebacker. I get it. They're great when it comes to analyzing NFL football. But I'm talking about in-game sports. Because the only thing that I've heard Berman talk about in-game is he covers baseball. Not like we've talked about, not a big baseball guy.
He's a great baseball guy.
But I'm a big... Like we talked about... Al Michaels, holy crap, is he big time. But the new guys like Jim Nance, you know what I mean? Oh my gosh, I love him.
Jim Nance is making golf cool. Well, him and Tiger
smelling Woods. The azaleas of Augusta National.
Good for you.
It's like, he does, he makes TV, he can describe the television when you're not even looking at it.
He's iconic, for sure.
He not only does that, but he does NCAA basketball, like the tournament, but also, of course... Football.
It's
every
like
week.
You know that you have a big hitter when Jim Nance announces because it's like
that's the game of the week.
You watch the first three rounds of the NCAA tournament, and then the Final Four comes, and then they bring in Jim Nance. You know, okay,
Jim Nance.
This is the big time.
Yes, exactly. You know who I'm actually in? I'm going to go more local here, but it's because he now I think heads up the Pac-12 network. But Gus Johnson.
Gus
Johnson.
Awesome.
He's so exciting.
Wait, is he? What do you mean, Pac-12? Is he just on the Pac-12?
He's now the official.
The main dude?
The main guy. Like the Larry, or sorry, the Jim Nance of the Pac-12.
Because
now.
He was doing tournament games last year on CBS.
Yep. I think we've hit the main guys. I know there's some other great announcers we like, but as far as people that can make announcers go crazy, especially right now.
You are a Segway king, my friend.
Are these stupid replacement refs?
I have mixed feelings on the replacement refs.
They're terrible.
Well, they're terrible, and it's like when they go. First of all, they're not even like college. They're not even accomplished college refs.
They're like in between high school and the smallest of colleges.
The good college refs are getting ready for college football.
Yes.
So these guys are like these scrubs that they brought in, and it's like they can't even. Have you even heard like a clear, precise enunciation of a penalty?
No. I feel like they have a 5 to 10 minute conversation after each flag is thrown because they don't know what they need to say.
They get nervous. It's like 5 yards on the
offense. And they turn their mic off. They have another little round table.
Is the offense or the defense? The white team or the dark team?
What number again? Yeah, exactly. All I know is that Tony Romo had to go to a ref and say, the ball needs to be spotted on the hash marks. Not at the numbers. It's like, it was ridiculous.
They don't know what's happening. And especially in the NFL, more than other sports, it's like there's a lot of nuances to the rules, and you just have to know. Like, I don't even know if they like football outside of reffing.
Well, ultimately, I thought, okay, last year was very frustrating with the whole NBA and NFL lockout. Obviously, really wanted that to get done so we can watch our sports. I didn't think it would mean this much to me to have this referee lockout be happening. But it's driving me crazy now because they are that terrible compared to what real NFL
is. But, however, this is the other side of the coin is how great are these refs? Can we talk about it before the strike? Can we talk about a ref's life? Because how much did you say that they made per game?
They, from what I've heard from sources, if you will, about 9 to 10,000 a game, and they do 15 games a year. I know there's 16 games
a year. So we're at $150,000 a year.
Yes, roughly 150. They also minimum. Do preseason games.
Okay.
4 preseason games, and then if they do well enough, they do playoff games.
So we're talking minimum 150. If you're good, you're going to make...
Over a 5-month period.
Right. You work half a year.
Go back to your day job, and you're making easily $200K.
Part-time work that you do on the weekends. Travel is paid for by the NFL. Like, yes. I went to research what their demands were. Couldn't find it, but I feel like
good research.
Yeah, this is why. Speaking of day jobs, I won't quit mine. This is why it's ridiculous that they're. I feel like why are they crying in the first place?
Well, I think they're basing off of NBA and MLB salaries, but the thing is, NBA and MLB they work
a full-time job
year round.
That's a full-time job,
and it's 3 to 4 games to 5 games a week, whereas they're 1 game a week. So they can't argue too much. But to tell you the truth, to see how terrible these replacement refs are, we really need them back. Give them whatever they want. I'm a fan.
But if someone walked up to you today and said, listen, I'll pay you $150,000 a year, and you'll work 5 months a year. If it was 7 days a week, I'd say sign me up.
Well, of course. But guess what? We'd look probably worse than the replacement refs do now. Obviously, in my mind, I could do better. I mean, come on. But look how terrible they are now, and then think of the stuff that we'd have to learn and then have to stare down Ndamukong Suh and Ray Lewis in the face and say, yeah, that was illegal.
I don't mind. I agree. The replacement refs are terrible.
Absolutely terrible.
But I haven't seen – okay, there's like the hash mark deal, but I haven't seen – it's only been 3 weeks. I haven't seen a landmark call that went so terribly wrong. And here's the other thing. In any other preseason, if a ref makes a bad call, what do we say? We say, oh, it's preseason for the refs, too.
Right.
However, now it's like, oh, these guys are terrible.
That's true.
They got to get used to it, too.
That's true. I can't blame you for that. Ultimately, let's just hope that it gets figured out sooner than later so we can actually watch some quality, uninterrupted football.
Well, I don't think refs are going to change that part of it.
Well, those replacement refs are pretty soft. And speaking of soft,
God.
We're talking soft chick flick rock acousticness.
Well, we'd like to think that this podcast is not just about sports. It's about the little nuances in between.
Yes. And, you know, we'll talk about things here and there, whether it be – we'll never go into politics. So if you're into all that, we'll never talk about that. But we'll talk about just what's happening in the world. And really, we're big music buffs, so we'll talk about the occasional artist that's on our mind. And who's on your mind this week? Because I know that I'm into some really good stuff that I think that people will
enjoy. Well, just so happens that, like we alluded to earlier, Kyle and I, maybe this is part of why we're good friends.
Yes.
Because we share a love for, like, chicked out, totally emasculated... Acoustic
rock.
Not even rock. Acoustic nonsense.
Bonfire, kumbaya
if you
rock.
You cover a song with acoustic guitar.
We love it.
We love you. In the most non-sexual way possible.
Not to say that we don't love our hard rock, the occasional rap, and all that.
I find that I'm like, and I differ from you, but I find that it's like two extremes. I love heavy metal when I'm trying to get like pumped up.
Sure.
When I'm working out, I like some metal in my soup. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But when it's just like chilling out, I love the chicked out acoustic nonsense.
It's
talking
true.
About.
So who are you listening to this week that the listeners can, you know, check out on iTunes?
I don't know. You know, it always seems like you found a hidden gem when it's new to you. So I don't know how hidden it is to everybody
Go
else.
For it.
His name is Ben Howard. Sings a song.
He's legit. You're right.
I heard it on the radio, and I was like, who is this? And I immediately went and looked him up. And he's like a mix between, and I love doing mixes. This is one of my favorite games. He's a mix between Brett Denon and Ray LaMontagne. Acoustic, really good voice.
Nice. I was actually going to say, he sounds like a tamer Ray LaMontagne.
Yeah, yeah. Not maybe,
which is legit.
Ray LaMontagne does a lot of, he's super raspy and super, he's got a lot of country twang to him.
Right.
Which a lot of people don't know about, but Ben Howard, Only Love is a song that they play on the radio all the time, but it's fantastic. The entire album, I listen to it over and over at work. It's good stuff. It's not a bad song on the album. What nice. About you?
I'm feeling some Alan Stone. And Alan Stone is, I would not Google image him because he is one.
I say Google image.
Awkward looking guy, but man, can he sing. He's like an awkward, and this is what you were just talking about, kind of like a hybrid of Stevie Wonder and Mark Broussard.
Yeah.
And man, can he blow. Like, he can sing. Yeah.
Yes, he can.
You have a child's mind, Matthew. I'm telling you, he can sing. Period. Period. End of story. He's awesome.
Oh.
And he's a local guy. He's from Washington. He is a great singer, great songwriter, and I would just download a couple of his songs. He's legit. So I would look into him as well.
Well, it's good stuff. When I heard him, I thought of Mayor Hawthorne. It's kind of the same genre.
Okay.
So
nice. Well, obviously we've established that he's not the best of looking artists, but as far as men who we have crushes on. Yes, it's the man crush of the week. Terrible/awesome segue.
In a purely man sport affiliated
way. Yeah. Who's your man crush of the week?
Well, we awkwardly alluded to it earlier. Russell Wilson, backup quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks. They played my Denver Broncos this week. They beat them soundly. The final score is like 31-10 or whatever it was. It doesn't matter. But Russell Wilson looks good. They paid all his money to Matt Flynn. But for why? Because he's got a good – Matt Flynn's, I guess, can be accurate. But Russell Wilson is a complete deal. Not only is he accurate with his throws, but he's also incredibly mobile. He scrambled out of at least two or three sacks just in the, two quarters that I watched him. An amazing deep ball, accurate, I think. And I read that Pete Carroll actually really likes Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
He's going to start over Matt Flynn the next preseason game. So,
wow.
My man crush of the week is Russell Wilson. Plus, he's a baller in college. He graduated, got drafted by my Rockies.
Yeah.
And then said, F you, Major League Baseball, I'm going to play football anyways, went to Wisconsin.
I like that.
Pretty cool.
He knows his priorities.
Russell Wilson.
Nice. Well,
who's your man crush of the week?
My man crush, it's a little off. It's not sports related. It's more entertainment related. And he's kind of a general man crush of mine, which I'm not afraid to hide it. Ryan Reynolds, sir. Actor, comedian, Van Wilder, baller extraordinaire. I just think that man is hilarious. I was watching, we bought the movie The Change Up.
I don't know, with the guy from...
Jason Bateman.
Jason Bateman.
They switch lives.
See?
Absolutely hilarious.
I think Jason Bateman's hilarious.
No, he is. Teen Wolf 2.0, if you will.
If you will.
I just think he's hilarious. Handsome, if you will. And I'm comfortable.
That's what I was just waiting for you to get to the handsome
he's
aspect
handsome.
Because that's why he's amazing.
He's flipping handsome, people. Okay. Well, I just think he's
a for the record, Kyle's married to a woman. So, for the record.
Yes, for the record. However, this guy's hilarious, awesome, all of the above.
All right.
I gotta give it to him.
I think, what was it? What was this movie? Van Wilder.
Mm-hmm.
Hilarious. What has he done since Van Wilder?
So many things. Are you kidding me?
He was in X-Men.
The Proposal. with Sandra Bullock. Hilarious, again.
Emmy nominated.
Hey, call me crazy.
Nominated for a nomination.
Call me chick flick.
Person. Okay, okay.
But it's okay. Good. It's hilarious.
I'll give you the nomination. What else has he been in?
I can't think of things off the top of my head. But he's hilarious. Just shut up and accept it.
He was married to Alanis Morissette. How weird is that?
Well, guess what? He ended that. And then he was with Scarlett Johansson, so...
Upgrade.
Eat on that one.
Upgrade.
Yes, thank you.
Kind of like her intro.
And hopefully the voice of reason will have a little bit something to say.
Our old intro was Alanis Morissette. Our new intro...
We will never have Alanis
Scarlett Johansson.
Well, this gosh. This is awkward. What do you have to say about that, Voice of Reason, about our Man Crush of the Week picks?
Well, it seems like you actually had two segments that were Man Crush of the Week.
Kind of, yeah.
Your favorite sports announcers, and then also Good call. Okay, your general Man Crush of the Week. Enough. So, yeah, I just wanted to flag your favorite sports announcers. You guys were... going a little over the top with your man love.
Who was yours then?
Shout out to Al Michaels and Berman and Nance. That's great. But I think Man Crush of the Week for me is Michael Strahan.
Ooh.
New co-host on Live with Kelly.
Okay.
Beat out some pretty high contenders, I think.
That's true. So, Nick Lachey?
Who's the other one? Seth Meyers.
Wow, really SNL?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
so. I would have picked him, so good job, Strahan.
Yeah, I'm excited for him. I think it'll be a good gig. And also her husband, Kelly Ripa's husband, which actually they on screen do well together.
I was just going to say, that sucks for him. Talk about it.
Yeah. Okay. So the other thing I was going to say is going back through and listening, yes, definitely quick shout out to you guys on the new intro. That sounds a lot better. Another thing I have to say and just kind of call out Matt here for a second is we're in week 3 of recording this. We get it. Kyle, has mixed drinks.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
So what? And speaking,
it tastes good.
Speaking of beverages of choice, it's a very Portlandia of you to highlight that your beer is organic. Good for you. That's awesome. We're super happy. Cheers to that. Also, your little section going back and forth on, Kirk Cousins. I like the, agree to disagree. I prefer to think of it as I'd agree with you, but then we'd both be wrong.
Right?
Yeah.
See, I agree that, I know he's not backup for now, but eventually he's going to be a solid pick. So I'm just giving him some love. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. The next thing I wanted to talk about was your segment on the replacement refs. Mm-hmm. Definitely have seen the missteps there. I thought it was interesting, Matt's comment. I don't even think that they like football. It just made me laugh. Does that matter?
I don't know. I mean, it
made me laugh. That's all.
It happens.
I appreciate and I like your new segment on musicians.
Yeah.
You guys definitely, both of you, find great artists. And so I wanted to throw mine out there in the hopper.
Okay.
And Ed Sheeran, big fan.
Oh,
we've been listening amazing to him a lot lately.
I love him.
Yeah, he's good. So that's really all I have this week, I think. That's it.
And this is why we have you around, because basically we sound stupid without
She's
you.
She's the greatest. Most strictest.
We love you. Yeah. V-O-R.
Vore.
Voice of Reason.
You vore.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. It's been fun speaking to you this week, and...
You're welcome.